You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Beep, 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 beep.
Transmitting from Zucchini Land, it's Steve, Jack, and Sam, the Zucchini Brothers, live at the clubhouse. Beep, 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 beep.
Let's all get together, have a little fun. Let's all get together, dance under the sun. Shake your head and body round, everybody must get down. Shake your head and body round, everybody must get down.
Get down on the radio, in the clubhouse, with the Zucchini Brothers. Yeah, going to different places, doing different things. Yeah, with all our friends.
The leaves that once clung to the trees are now on the cool ground, covered with frost paintings here in Zucchini Land, where reality steps aside, opening the door to one's imagination. Where seasons change from week to week with the promise of new adventure. Where hopes and dreams dance with the magic of music. It is here that we find the Zucchini Brothers, Jack, Steve, and Sam, with their dog Polly and their friend Susan on the back porch of the clubhouse. It's story day!
Sun goes down early these days.
Yeah, it's already dark and we just finished dinner.
I heard there's going to be a full moon tonight.
Ooh.
You know, my little brother told me he saw a monster in our backyard last night.
I don't know.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
It couldn't have been a monster.
What did it look like?
Well, he said it didn't have a head.
No head?
Maybe it was a turtle.
I don't think so. It was wearing a shirt. And one of its hands was...
A gigantic claw?
Yes.
What color? Yellow?
Uh-huh. And...
Are you telling the truth, Susan?
Yeah, I mean...
Well... Hey, I thought we were going to listen to a story.
Yes, we were. How about one from Odds Bodkin called Messenger to Moff Tom?
Story time. Story time. Story time. Story time.
Long ago, in Soninke Land, there lived a man named Mama D. Mama D was not rich. Mama D was not good looking. Mama D was not a great hunter, and yet Mama D was famous all across Soninke Land, for it was said by the people that no matter what, Mama D found it impossible to tell a lie. News of Mama D's fame reached the ears one day of Bahene, the great chief of all the Soninke people. Bahene did not like the thought that someone amongst his people could be as famous as he. And so he looked at his warriors with great bands of copper about their muscular arms and said,
I believe in this Mama D. I do not believe that any man, no matter how clever, no matter how honest, finds it impossible to tell a lie. Why, what today is the truth, by tomorrow, when circumstances change, becomes a lie. I think this Mama D is arrogant. I think he should be punished. I want you to bring him to me immediately.
And so, out of the great chief Bahene's large hut, the soldiers ran. Down along the path that led to the river, across a bridge along the river, across one more swinging bridge, its grass ropes low to the water, until at last they came into the village where Mama D lived. Into his hut they ran and pulled apart the bead curtain and grabbed him. Mama D had a very large head, a very thin neck, and very large eyes. And without telling him why, the warriors dragged him back across the low swinging bridge, along the side of the river, back across the other bridge, and right up the hill, back to the great visiting hut of the chief, and they threw him prostrate upon the floor in front of Behene, who looked down and said,
You are this...
Mama D looked up and said,
Yes, I am Mama D.
Mama D, the people say that you, no matter what, find it impossible to tell. Is this true?
Great Behene, yes, it is true. I find it impossible to tell a lie.
Mama D, is it not so that what today, when it is the truth, can by tomorrow, when circumstances change, become a lie?
Yes, great Behene, that is most indeed true. Still, nevertheless, I find it impossible to tell a lie.
Go.
Mama D returned to his village. But Behene sat upon his throne and was very annoyed. He breathed deeply, and the cascades of colorful cowries upon his great wide chest lifted and fell. And finally he turned to his warriors and said,
I do not believe that any man finds it impossible to tell a lie. And I think he is arrogant and should be punished.
The next morning, Mama D lay asleep upon his mat, when suddenly the bead curtain was pulled aside and two great warriors grabbed him and dragged him out of his hut, down across the low slung bridge, along the river, back across the other bridge, up the hill, and they threw him right in front of the chief, who looked down and said,
Mama D.
Yes, great Behene.
Mama D. Because you are the man who finds it impossible to tell a lie, I have an important mission for you, and only you can fulfill it. Mama D, I wish you to go to the village of Maftam, where my wife, the queen, lives. Thank goodness. And I wish you to take a message to her from me.
Oh, yes, great chief, I shall.
Now listen, Mama D. My hunters and I intend to go hunting. We will go hunting for wood deer today. And by tomorrow morning, just as the sun reaches the top of the sky, we will come to the village of Maftam. I instruct you to tell my wife that I wish she has a fire burning and has plenty of bowls of milk beer for me to drink when we bring the wood deer into the village, and we will cook it. Do you understand, Mama D?
Yes, I do.
Now, you are the messenger to Maftam. Take that message to her. Now go.
As fast as he could, out of Behene's visiting hut ran Mama D. He ran down the long hill and crossed a river and then another and disappeared into the forest. The hunters looked at Behene, wondering when it was they would go hunting. But Behene looked at them and said,
Wait. We are not going hunting. And we will not come to the village of Maftam when the sun reaches the top of the sky. And Mama D will go and tell this to my wife, and he will be a liar, and I will have him punished for his arrogance. So sit.
An hour or so later, Mama D reached the village of Maftam. Into the great visiting hut of the wife of Behene, he ran, and he fell prostrate upon the floor in front of her. And he said,
great queen, I have a message from your husband, the chief Behene.
Well, what is it?
She said.
Well, your husband instructed me to tell you that he intends to go hunting. Now, sometimes one's intentions do not work out, but nevertheless, if indeed he does intend to go hunting and follows through on his intention and does go hunting, he might do that today. Then again, he might not do it until tomorrow, but one never really knows now, does one? But in any case, if he should go hunting, he might hunt for wood deer, but then again, he might hunt for lion, or he might hunt for elephant, one never knows. Why, he might be hunted by a lion, one never knows either, in the jungle now, does one? But in any case, if he should indeed go hunting, and if and should indeed he should catch a wood deer, then he might come here tomorrow with his catch when the sun reaches the top of the sky. But then again, he might come a little before it, a little bit after. One never really knows, now does one? But if the one does know where the top of the sky is, which when we look up is hard to see sometimes, yes, he might indeed come when it does reach the top of the sky, and he does catch a wood deer. Well, he might want you to have a fire so that he might be able to cook it, but then again, he might not catch anything, so a fire would be a non-necessity now, wouldn't it? But in any case, if he does catch a wood deer, and if he does want a fire, you might also have some milk beer in pots about for him and his men. But then again, if he's very thirsty, he might want to drink water first, one never knows, but milk beer might be a good idea, but then again, it might not. I'd never really know, but nevertheless, that is my message.
What?
Asked the poor, baffled queen. That is my message.
Thank you.
Mama D went and lay down in the visitor's hut. And he slept long that day and all the next night. The next morning, the sun was just beginning to creep along the tops of the trees, long before it reached the top of the sky. The trees were pulled away, and out into the clearing of the village of Maftam strode Behene with his great warriors beside him, their arms wrapped in bands of brass. And into the hut belonging to his wife, he walked and said,
Good morning, my wife.
Good morning, husband.
My wife, did a messenger from my village arrive here yesterday?
Oh, yes, he did.
You see, he came. And my wife, did this Mama D not bring you a message?
Oh, yes, he brought a message.
From me?
Yes, from you.
I knew that. My wife, did this Mama D not tell you that I intended to go hunting for wood deer and that I would come to this village when the sun reached the top of the sky and that I wished you to have fires burning and plenty of bowls of milk beer?
Well, he did.
You see.
But, husband, twists and turns upon what he said, and so many qualifications that, well, I think I understood that that was the message, but husband, he never really said that at all.
A what? A what?
Behene looked. His warriors had put their hands over their mouths so as to cover their smile.
Is the messenger still here?
Yes, he is.
Bring him from the visitor's hut.
And the two great warriors ran out, and there Mama D, asleep on his mat, suddenly was awakened. And dragged in before Behene and the queen and thrown on the floor in front of them.
Mama D. Mama D. Rise. You are indeed a clever man. And I think today it is Behene who is the big fool. My wife, if you would, please ask your villagers to build fires. And we will go out for this and we will hunt a wood deer. Have plenty of milk beer available when we return. And we will have a feast, eh? A feast in honor of the man who, no matter what, cannot tell a lie.
We just heard Messenger to Moff Tom from Odds Bodkin.
And we're all listening to the Zucchini Brothers live at the clubhouse.
All right, about that monster your little brother saw.
Was that for real?
Now that I think about it, he probably let his imagination get the best of him.
Well, I don't believe in monsters anyway.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? We still have time for one more story.
What do you got for us, Steve?
This one's from Nora Dooley, and it's called Truth and Wisdom.
The dreamer awakes, the shadow goes by. When I tell you a tale, the tale... But ponder it well, fair maiden, good youth. The tale is a lie. What it tells is the truth. Truth and Wisdom. Now Truth came to town one fine day. She had a thing to tell. She meant well. I mean, really, she did. Helping people through telling, it was what she was all about. So Truth swept into the town square, her rags and tatters swirling about, barely covering her nakedness. People, she called. And her voice was not pretty. It held the effort and strain of every. Her body bore the bruises and scars from every collision of hope with reality. Still, she had a certain strength. That was easy to see. But it was barely covered by the shredded rags of what was once a dress. People, hear me, she cried. And the people moved. Yes, they moved fast. They heard her. They took but one look, and children ran to their mother's skirts. Fathers picked up babies. Old ones shooed in young ones, and young ones scooted in old ones. 100 doors slammed. 100 windows slid shut, and 100 shades pulled down. And Truth? She found herself all alone in the center of the square, tasting the dust of the people's departure in her mouth. Oh, it's just another hard thing, she told herself, as she stumbled across the bridge out of town. And I must face it, she said out loud. But she started to choke on her sorrow and steadied herself on the rail of the bridge. And then she wailed, oh, but they need to know. Which is how Wisdom found her that day. Yes, La Sapienza, la Nonna Sapienza, was out that day walking. We don't see so much of her anymore. But she was out this day, and it was she who found Truth bawling her eyes out. Now, Nonna Sapienza, or Old Lady Wisdom, was very old. Her beauty was something you felt rather than saw. She had eyes that were ageless, and a smile that warmed your bones. Need to know what? Wisdom asked in a gentle voice. About the truth, about life and death and love, hate, war, peace. Truth looked up as she took in a ragged breath. I have to face it. Nobody wants to know what I have to say. She stumbled on her words and started sobbing again. Now, now, Carina, Wisdom patted Truth's shoulder softly. I suppose you know this already, but to say it true, you look like something the cat dragged in. Down at her clothes and then pushed her wild hair back from her tear and dirt-streaked face. I suppose it's true, Truth said, hanging her head. Why don't you come with me, said Wisdom, and at her tender invitation, Truth turned and followed in her path. You know, we all need to remember, said Wisdom, that beauty is every bit as true as death and hate and war. She bustled around her cabin as she spoke and prepared a warm bath for Truth. And you know, she continued, it's just as much a part of life. Even I can forget that sometimes. Now you pay attention to me, ragazza. I have a few things to teach you. First, Wisdom trained Truth's voice. she taught her the sound of waterfalls, the morning song of birds, and the happy gurgle of babies. Then she wove Truth a skirt made from the colors of sunsets, the hues of all the spring flowers, and the wet, shiny pebbles on the shore. Wisdom fashioned a blouse for her, using the designs of seashells, the patterns of bird feathers, and the leaves of trees. A shawl was made from cloth that had the depth of the ocean, the intensity of the sky on a summer night, and the majesty of mountains. Wisdom dressed Truth with pleasure, but Truth squirmed in her new clothes. "Well?" Wisdom asked. "Oh, but I'm hidden," Truth blurted out. "Ha!" Wisdom gave a laugh that was a shout. Truth asked meekly, "Am I hidden?" And Wisdom chuckled. She shook her head. "No, you are not hidden. Now let me tell you one last thing." And she leaned to whisper in Truth's ear. Truth listened and smiled a smile, and that smile grew larger with each step she took towards town. So Truth walked back over that same bridge and swept right into that town. This time children followed her, and mothers turned and smiled, and fathers stopped their work to listen. As she sat down in the square, she called in a large and joyful voice, "Story! I am Story. Come and hear me." And the whole town gathered round her. They listened and they heard Truth.
Zucchini here in the back porch of the clubhouse. And that last story we heard was from Nora Dooley.
Hey, here comes Robert Zimmerman.
Oh, hello, Mr. Zimmerman.
Hello, Zucchini Brothers. How's your world?
Fine, thanks. How's your world?
Well, I must say, sometimes I just don't feel like I fit in, being an artist and all. I'm not sure people really understand me. You know what I mean?
Not really.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Stephen.
Well, I've got something you could probably relate to. How about a song from the Beach Boys?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear it, but I'm still convinced I just wasn't made for these times.
I keep looking for a place to fit in where I can speak my mind. And I've been trying hard to find the people that I won't leave behind. Each time things start to happen again.
that's our show. We'd like to say hello to you if you listen to us on stations like
CHLS in Lillooet, British Columbia.
Hello!
If you'd like any information about the Zucchini Brothers, our concerts, our products, or anything you've heard on this show, or just to say hello, you can always go to www.zucchinibrothers.com. That's one word, and it's spelled Z-U-C-C-H-I-N-I-B-R-O-T-H-E-R-S. Keep those emails coming. And for show number
1,328,
the Zucchini Brothers Live at the Clubhouse is produced, recorded, and edited by Sam Zucchini, and written by Jack Zucchini, Susan Meyer, and Sam Zucchini. The Clubhouse music librarian is Steve Zucchini. This show is a presentation of Zucchini Productions.
Let's sing it.
Sweaters and cheese, sweaters and cheese, sweaters and cheese and fudge.
Monsters. Yellow shirt. Oh, I don't remember. Who'd like it?
Conversations can sometimes be confusing. There are so many technical, jargony terms thrown around. Professionals can get overwhelmed and tune out. But the next time you hear the word habitat, perk up your ears a little. When you hear the word habitat, think of home. Sure, science can make habitat sound a lot more complicated, but basically, it's where a living thing, a bird, for example, prefers to live. It's that bird's natural home. For a jay that lives in the forest is its habitat, where it finds food, water, shelter, and the company of other jays. But a jay's habitat may also be